You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out.
Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
True.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's a little after 8:30, 8:36 now. We got our deal started a little bit late there, but it's the 10th of June. It's a Wednesday. We always start late on Wednesday because of our Boy Scout obligations here. So I've got to take care of that. And boy, are we getting close to the rally, to the class and the expo and everything that's going on. A lot of stuff going on. Some of it is a little more complicated, things I probably shouldn't tell you, but there's a lot of stuff going on up there in Washington. It's going to be a busy, busy freaking week, and I'll get a little spare time in between the class and the expo, but that expo is going to be no standing around time, man. There's a lot of stuff there, a lot of training, a lot of little classes and seminars and stuff going on. I just can't wait to get up there. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And hello, Minnie and LB Sand. Good to see you in there. Mountain Shooter, Doc, Yakima Glock, the Tinker. Let's see who all else is in there since I started. I might as well check it out. Bright Angel's in there. Eddie Crump. By the way, Yakima, happy birthday to you. And I don't know if Mother Earth is still with us or not. Northwest Heavy's in there. A couple of Anonymous, so. All right, let's move on here. There's a I'm gonna start out with a good story here. I don't want to put everybody in a bad mood and then try to brighten them up with this story. This is a pretty good story here, and especially coming out of the Albuquerque Police Department. Albuquerque gets a let me start this by saying I really have a desperate desire to be fair to these cops. I don't hate cops. I hate the ones that are abusive and violent and arrogant and all of that. But there, and I will be the first to admit that there are hundreds and hundreds of good, decent, oath-keeping cops out there. And coming out of Albuquerque, this is a little surprising. We get a lot of bad news out of Albuquerque. But apparently, there was a cop here in, what was this, a couple of weeks ago, after a call about an unresponsive baby. The cop started doing CPR on a seven-month-old baby, evidently got there before the fire trucks and everybody did, and pretty soon the baby started breathing on her own. And she was diagnosed with some kind of a seizure disorder and put on medication since then. But I go back up here to the middle of the story, and it says he quickly began CPR on the seven-month-old baby as her terrified family looked on. You know, I am so glad that the cop was there. I'm glad that this worked out well. I'm glad that he saved the baby and all that. But the terrified family, now I don't know how many family members were there, but if any of the family members that terrified that were watching were adults, why don't you know how to perform CPR on an infant or a toddler? It's your kid. There's got to be, is that not enough incentive to go out and get a little bit of training, go take a first aid class, just a relatively basic Red Cross first aid class, would have prevented that. And I tell you from experience, my oldest, oh God, I've never been so scared in my life. My oldest, when I first got back from, moved from Arizona over to New Mexico, when I was living over by Flagstaff, this was back in 98, 90, first part of 99, right about the time I got started on colloidal silver and diatomaceous earth and everything else. And we were building a classroom slash, feed shed, a tack room. There's about, I forgot how big it was. It was 30, probably 40 feet long, probably 40 by 20, I'm guessing. So we had the floor the floor joists put in, and just a little bit of decking on it. And my oldest walked out there, and she was, three or four years old. And she stepped on one of those floor joists, and then she missed one. And, you know, being that small, they were 16 inches apart, but as small as she was, she had no problem dropping down in there and landed right about on her diaphragm, on that board. I mean, just it didn't even hit the ground because we had a pretty good crawl space underneath there. So she slipped and fell and landed right across that and just immediately stopped breathing. And it was, I sure didn't have time. We were, you know, 15 miles out of town or whatever it was. And it wasn't quite that far. It was closer to 10, I guess. But we sure didn't have time to call 911. And anyway, we went through all the right motions there and got her heart beating again and got her breathing and stuff. And I think... I haven't even thought about that for a long time. It scared the ever-loving hell out of me. But every time I see a story like this, and I think about all the classes that we give constantly, we've given, I think, four combat medic classes here, and people just can't seem to find the time. I understand money's tight, but we really scrimped back. We cut way back to make this class affordable for people. And when I see stories like this, I think of all the people that had a ball game to go to or something, and they put this class off. And I just hope that they never get to a point where they say, you know, I sure wish I knew what to do. But anyway, kudos out to this Albuquerque cop. I'm glad that he was there and knew what to do and got this baby up and running again. There's Eddie Crump. Buddy, you know what? I could give a flying. Well, I don't care what Obama thinks. We might. I'm going to say gun, and I'm going to say shoot. Hey, speaking of shooting, let me tell you something else that's coming up here. Most Ricky Ticked, like right now today. I managed to finally, after months of struggling and trying to figure out how to get this done, I got our Southwest Shooting Authority URL domain back. And what I've got, if you go to southwestshootingauthority.com right now, it takes you to our website. Now, what I didn't do, and I've got to call them tomorrow and see if I can fix it, I want the shootingbench.us. I also want it directed to the same website. Now, I don't know, surely they can do that. But otherwise, it is all southwestshootingauthority.com right now. So there's going to be two email addresses, that contact@southwestshootingauthority.com and training@southwestshootingauthority.com. We're also going to keep the shootingbench at live.com. We're going to keep that one. And that's going to be kind of our generic catch-all stuff that has to do with the show. And there's also Survival Circle at outlook.com, I believe, for show related stuff. So we're just getting covered up again with all of this stuff, but I think it's going to work out well for us. We've got now, I wanted to tell you, from the Glock shooters out there, we are hitting the Glock dry practice kit hard and heavy again. It's been kind of dormant for a little while. But I'm in the process right now. It's going to be after I get back from Washington before I get them all finished. But I just got an order for 40 of them out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And we've got probably five or six other individuals right now waiting since I've got everything ready to go. Word's getting out and people are starting to get a hold of us again. And that Glock dry practice kit, for those of you that are not familiar with that, I haven't talked about it much because we haven't been building them, but we're back in business now. And hey Doc, we might do that tomorrow. That might be a good thing to talk about. Light blinking loads, that might be a good idea. Boy, all it takes is me just a few words off one side, and I'm a train runs right off the track. I just forgot all about what I was talking about. We were doing the Southwest Shooting Authority. Oh, the dry practice kits. Jeez. For those of you that don't know what those are, it's a little mechanism that we've been building for, 10 years, I guess. No, not quite. Probably started about 2006, 2007, and it's a little drop-in trigger mechanism. You pull your trigger out, drop ours in, and it allows you to dry practice, or dry fire as some people like to call it, realistically, repeatedly, without racking the slide, meaning that the trigger resets properly. It feels almost like a stock trigger. You pull the trigger, let it forward, it resets, pull it again, and it feels just like you were really shooting, of course, without the recoil. And for those of you that have trained and been around and seen the different types of things that people advocate out there, you know that dry firing or dry practice is absolutely an essential skill And we spend a lot of time on that in our classes, and so much so that we've created special targets for it, along with the Glock dry practice kit, because we are real, real serious about dry practice. If you want to, if you want to get good, real good, you need to dry practice. Matter of fact, the shooting just really confirms that you've been doing a good job at dry practice. You, where you learn your most stuff is during your dry exercises. Yakima Glock says, speaking of CS. Well, I'm assuming he's talking about colloidal silver, because, and I don't know anybody that was speaking of it, but now that you mentioned it. Cousin treated the dog's paws and water with CS, and hot spots on his paws cleared up within just a few days. He was at the point of being crippled. Well, I don't know the whole story about that, Yak, but I'm glad it worked for you, or for your cousin anyway. So that's, that is amazing stuff. It don't take much to get me, off and, on a tangent here and start talking about that and spend the whole damn show doing it. But it's an amazing product. let's see. Tampico Scout just joined us without any sound. Somebody tell him to refresh and get back in the game here. And by the way, sound, it shouldn't be on my end. We finally got, the UPS truck drove up here today and brought my new modem in, and I got it all hooked up and adjusted and got the settings right on it and everything. So we are back in business with the new wireless modem, and hopefully that's going to keep us from cutting out and messing everything up here. All right. Let's look at some of the badder news here. In New Jersey, how many times have we talked about this happening? In New Jersey, there was a gal that was, she tried to do everything she could, did try to do everything right to protect herself, but it just wasn't enough. She was murdered, it was last Wednesday night. 6 weeks after applying for a handgun permit, and this application that she sent in was delayed due to her state's gun control laws. She is, this woman got a restraining order against her former boyfriend, installed security cameras and an alarm system in her home, started this months-long process of getting a handgun. 39 years old, stabbed to death by her ex-boyfriend in the driveway of her home last Wednesday night. Her former boyfriend charged with murder. He was a convicted felon, was still on the run, being sought by U.S. Marshals. But all that, they catch him, you know, they put him in jail, might even put him to death, but this gal's still going to be dead when they get done with all that. And people are asking, what took so long? Why didn't she have the right to defend herself? And they're, of course, blaming the system for it. Others are blaming it on the anti-gun politicians and lobbyists. But doesn't matter. She's dead. She's still dead. Family don't get it. All these apologies and all this stuff is not gonna help her come back, and not gonna ease their grief at all. But that's why you teach your daughters and your wives and everybody to shoot. And you know, teach them to shoot doesn't really do anything either. You know, you got to teach them to carry, not convince them. You got to teach them to carry. Just the fact that they carry isn't always going to be enough, depending on the circumstances and the individual. But you know, we've talked 100 times about the mindset and the ability to take a human life when faced with it. You know, we can all say how easy it would be and how you'd have no problem, and then probably some of us wouldn't. But when it comes right down to that point of pulling the trigger, you know, don't come a step closer, and they come a step closer. Don't come any closer, I'll shoot, and they take one step closer. Don't come any closer, I'm not kidding you, I'll shoot you. And they take one step closer, and they take the gun away from them. Because people, by and large, have good hearts, you know, most people. And they keep thinking, you know, it's one step, he's got to believe me, I'm not kidding, I'll shoot him. He takes another step. So taking the training and the classes to learn what your limitations, how close do you let them get, and all that kind of stuff, is every bit as important as the shooting itself. Most of these women shoot probably inside of 10 feet, maybe even 5 feet. They're not going to miss. You don't really have to, you know, quote unquote, know how to shoot. When we get farther out there, of course, you know, the farther away you get, the more skill it takes. And hostage rescue, okay, I understand all that. But the average person shooting at center mass of a grown man 10, 15 feet away, it doesn't require a tremendous amount of skill. It does require a tremendous amount of fortitude, of mindset to be able to do something like that. And I think that's probably as many people are killed because of that, or because of a lack of that, as anything else out there. Let's see. Thank you, LB Sand. It says the best sound. I'm glad that hopefully that's our new modem. And I look down here at my little indicator down here on the bottom, and it is, for the first time in a long time, it's plumb full. Usually, even if I was sitting in the house, it'd be down to 3 or 4 bars, but it's loaded up tonight, so hopefully everything's gonna work all right here. Alright, did Tampico Scout, there he is, he made it in here. Yeah, I don't know which holster you got, Tampico Scout. I see Yakima talking to you about it there. Yes, if you're talking about a CompTac or a BladeTech or a Uncle Mike's or anything that has adjustable tension on it, yeah, a little bit of Loctite sure wouldn't hurt. And whether it's blue or red doesn't make a whole lot of difference. If you use red, just use less of it. With that small a diameter screw, unless you really load it up, you can still undo them if you need to. But if you've got access to blue, certainly that would be the way to do it. But that's a good idea, because they do, some of them do back out. And depending on which holster you have, some of them have the belt attachment is screwed on. All of the injection molded BladeTech holsters have the holster attachment screwed on, so you have to check those every once in a while and make sure. But I'll tell you, if you do it right and put a little bit of Loctite on them when you put it together, when you get the holster, just go ahead and take the screws out right then. Once you get it, right for your belt and get everything squared away, just go ahead and take them out and do that. The holster that I'm wearing right now has, I've been wearing this holster for, now you gotta remember, I wear them, 15, 18 hours a day, 365 days a year. And I've had this holster probably, I know I've had this holster at the very least 6 years. And the only time that I don't wear it, sometimes when I wear my 35 or my 34, I'll wear a CompTac holster for classes and stuff once in a while. But for the most part, I wear this holster all the time. And they last well. BladeTech makes a fine holster. There's lots of good holster makers out there. CompTac makes good holsters. They turned into anal orifices, though, when at one time I was the only distributor for Comptac holsters in the United States. There was lots of dealers, but I was the only distributor. I was selling to dealers. And then they got a new, I don't know what the hell he was, a new operations manager, a new some kind of big wig there, and he pulled the plug on that. So right at that time, we just ordered a bunch of holsters, and I owed him some money. And I said, you know what, if you're gonna take that away right now when I haven't done anything wrong, I've been paying my bills and everything, and you're gonna take that away. I said, here's the money I owe you. And I packed up all those holsters and sent them back to him, and haven't ordered another one since. But that doesn't mean that they make bad holsters. They don't have good customer service. But their holsters are great. I still have, three or two of them, and I've taken some and put them away, in storage. So I just don't ever want to run out of either or Blade Tech or Comptac holsters. They're great holsters, man. And the Uncle Mike's and Phobos and all that. Phobos makes a good entry level holster. I know a lot of people that carry them, you know, routinely as much as I do. I don't like Phobos very much. They are durable enough now that they've changed the way they build them. There for a while, back up until about 2006. 2005, somewhere in there. They even had a video on YouTube of taking a Phobos holster and some guy walking up behind him and grabbing the grip of his handgun and pushing down and twisting in a counterclockwise position and ripping that off and pulling the gun out and tearing the holster, not pulling the gun out of the holster, but ripping the holster off of the belt attachment, leaving the belt attachment on the belt. So, but they fixed that. They fixed it a long time ago, and it's plenty good now. You're not going to do it anymore. But the only thing I don't like about them is that stupid cant that they have on them, that little bit of angle. I despise that. If they had vertical holsters, straight up and down holsters, I wouldn't mind carrying. They're cheap enough, you know. They've also come out with some new models just in the last probably 5 or 6 years, and they've kind of come up in the world. But as far as I know, they still, all of their holsters still have that cant to them, except for the one that they call the Roto holster. The Roto holster is set up with a mechanism on it that allows you to loosen a screw, and it has a splined coupler thing on it there. You loosen that screw and you turn that to whatever cant that you want, you know, straight up and down or reverse, forward, whatever you want to do to it. But because of that system on there, the holster is, number one, more expensive. Number two, it's a little bit more bulky. It sticks out a little farther. It doesn't stay as close, hug you as tight as Blade Tech and Comptac doing everything. But other than that, I haven't even looked at Phobos for quite a while. If they would do away with that cant, or at least have another option, I would recommend them. I don't have any problem with them. But I think once, especially you guys that go through this class, a lot of people think that they call that an FBI cant, by the way. And there's a good many people out there that think that that is somehow faster because it cants forward just a little bit. And it's not. For you guys that are going to take the class up there in Washington next week, or no, 2 weeks, I'll make a believer out of you. I promise you, it's not nearly what a lot of people crack it up to be. And just so everybody knows, I see at least one, two guys that's going to be in the class. I think you guys already know. You've got the paperwork on that. No, the Blackhawk SERPA holsters with the push button on the outside. We can't be using those, and I'll tell you why when we get all up there and get started. But anyway, we won't go any deeper into that. There's a deal going around out there. It's been going on here for about, 4 or 5 days now. This is about the officer that at first glance looks like he pulled his gun too soon and attacked a young girl in a bikini and all this kind of stuff. And at first glance, that seems to be the case. But I think we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit and see if we can clear up some misconceptions about that. I am one of the first to always let somebody know that, you know, a cop has done wrong, but I don't think that was the case in this case. So we'll be back in a minute, and we'll check it out.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Enemy is approaching fast. Requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
from my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Hey, for those of you that, I'm gonna throw in a little free plug here for somebody. For those of you that have, you know, whether it's a, you want a business card for a militia or for you have a business or, you know, whatever, you need a greedy little card you just like to hand out. I hand out cards all the time that has a, you know, no guns, no money type deal and talks about, you know, if you don't want guns in your store, then, you know, we're not going to spend our money there and stuff. But if you want to get some cards, I'll tell you what. All these years that I spent the time of designing my own cards and doing all this stuff and printing them out at a real nice, you know, $20,000 printer or whatever it was, VistaPrint, man, that's the way to go. Their deals to design the card is just amazing. It is simple, easy, accurate, precise. And you can throw those things together. You can do just the front or front and back or whatever. I have got some very, very cool business cards coming up here. I should have them by, I don't know, the 15th, I think it is. So, anyway, if you're thinking about doing it, don't mess with any other program. You cannot get them made any cheaper in town at all. Probably like three times as much money to have them made somewhere. It worked really good. I did the front and I said, you know what? I'm all the time taking my business cards and writing the radio show information on the back of them to people so they can find the show. Why not just make two-sided cards? Duh. So I've got a nice Southwest Shooting Authority logo and everything on the front, and you turn it over, and we've got our survivalcircle.com Survival Circle logo on there, and just a brief couple of words about the show and the times and stuff. And then I left about half the card on the back, and I put three lines on there and put notes. So if someone wants to take a phone number, you want to, you know, you had a name during a conversation or something, you can whip out one of those business cards and have three lines of text there for notes on it. But if you want business cards, VistaPrint's the way to go. Oh, yeah, let's talk about price. I did full color, front and back. And it was originally going to cost me $51, not counting shipping. And then I said, well, I looked at the price there, and they said, well, I can get another 500 of them for, you know, the first 500 was $51. I can get another 500 for whatever it was, $28 or something like that. I said, okay, well, just get 1,000. And then I got to looking around there, and I found a coupon deal for being a first-time guy and everything that was 35% off. And then I wanted to ship it, and I said, well, I got to have them before Washington. I'm going to have to do the 3-day shipping, because the other one's going to get here on the day that I wanted to leave, and that's cutting it too close. So with that 35% off, I got 1,000 business cards, color, front and back, 3-day shipping for, I think it was $81. You're not even going to beat that. And I was duly impressed. All right, let's move on to this thing in, I believe it was in McKinney, Texas. I know exactly where McKinney, Texas is. It's just south of Van Alstine and Sherman and over there. I had an old boy that a friend of mine, when I was working in Devers, well, Devers and Beaumont and all over down in there, his name is Bruce Bannister. And last I heard, he was working for the city in McKinney, Texas, running their utility or water department or whatever. I talked to him here, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, the first time I'd seen him since 1970-something, or talked to him since then. So anyway, if you watch the, look at the things on Facebook, and it says, oh, officer, psycho officer pulls gun and almost shot multiple teens. You know, to look at the video at first, it looks like he probably shouldn't have pulled the gun. But even if he did, he didn't almost shoot multiple teens. He didn't almost shoot anybody. He didn't fire the gun. He didn't aim it at anybody. He pulled it out and everybody freaked out and run away. So there was no almost shooting multiple teenagers. No. But if you watch the whole video and a couple of backup videos that have materialized since then, what they're not showing you is the fact that this pool party, all of these, or most of these teens were uninvited from another neighborhood. They swarmed in there after hearing about this party on social media, on Facebook. So while they're there, they trespass into people's yards, and they threatened the residents, got in fist fights, and using foul language and calling the people vulgar names and stuff, and refused to leave when the police showed up. People called the police. They didn't just show up. These terrified residents called the police. Yeah, he pulled his gun. And if you watch when he did, about that time, there was two young men there that were trying to position themselves to approach him on his blind side there a little bit. And if you look at the one guy, he reached behind his back. Now, how was the cop to know what he was doing? It looked very, if you look at it not from your point of view, but look at it as if you were the cop and see if it wouldn't look like this guy was reaching behind his back for some knife, gun, club, whatever. And this little bimbo in the bikini, she was continually in the way and running her mouth, and as he tried to get all the people that were trespassing to leave. So, you know, I don't think that he did wrong at all. I think he exercised more restraint than a lot of us would. And they say having the little girl had her spine crushed. No, she didn't. No serious injury at all. She was they got down and got a knee on her and got her restrained, and she didn't even require medical care. She's fine. Little roughed up, but she's all right. She shouldn't have been a smart mouth little witch, and it wouldn't have happened. But anyway, like I said, I'm always the first one to jump out there and say something when these cops overstep their authority. But I just don't think that was the case in this case. But anyway, you can That's my opinion, and you're welcome to it. So let's look. Hang on a minute. We may have breaking news here. Da-da-da-da. Come on. Okay, no, that's not breaking news. Never mind. Okay, let's see. Albuquerque. Let's go now, as bad as I hate to. Let's go to California. This has happened twice this week. And that is, Amy talked about one, I think it was yesterday, about a guy that had a drone out there, and he was just filming the fire department doing their job. No big deal. He wasn't trying. He was just getting a film, playing with his new toy, playing with his new drone. They're a lot of fun. And he wasn't doing anything wrong with it. And they blasted it out of the sky with the fire hose. Well, there's another one here in California. This just happened yesterday. There's a drone company there that's filed a police report and looking to sue a Huntington Beach guy that took his shirt and swatted a drone out of the air with his T-shirt. $1,350. Oh, well. So this guy owns Lucky 7 Drones. And he shows this thing hovering a few feet over in the middle of the street. Now, this guy was wrong in doing that, I think. I don't see how he... maybe he actually felt threatened by it. Said it hung a few feet over his head, but he was out in the middle of the street, not over his own property. So unless he felt that maybe it was actually a threat, then I don't know that he had any right to do that, and he's probably going to lose if he fights this. They told him they were going to give him a chance to pay for it. And from looking at the guy, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. I've seen a lot of people that don't look like they can buy their own lunch, but wind up being multimillionaires. But anyway, if he can't do it, they're gonna take him to court. So, all right, let's hang on here a minute. My browser is not responding. For those of you that are going to make the Arms Expo up here, and there are people from coming from far and wide. You know, we've got people coming from here in California and Utah and all over the Pacific Northwest. I think it's going to be an awesome show. And one of the first things we'll do, same thing we did up in Olympia, because of the very nature of what we're doing. The first thing we'll do, you know, we'll get our welcomes out and everything. But immediately we'll have a safety briefing because there are going to be a lot of guns. Some of these guys that tote guns out there, since I can't get my internet to come up, we're going to have to wing it here. Something that's not the modem's fault. I think it's my computer's fault. But some of these guys that tote guns think that because they do that they have some type of inalienable right to walk around with a loaded chamber on a long gun, a rifle or shotgun. And they say, well, that's my right. I'm protected by the Second Amendment in doing that. You know, and you are correct in that assumption, but the Second Amendment and the Constitution doesn't regulate common sense. It can't what am I looking to say here? I mean, when you're stupid, the Constitution doesn't help. You know, let's just put it that way. There is no excuse and no reason whatsoever to carry a chambered rifle or shotgun unless you feel that you are about to be involved in hostile situation there of some kind. And a lot of these people will say, well, yeah, well, I felt like, you know, the feds could attack any minute. Oh, shut up. You're just trying to make up for, you know, sexual dysfunction or something. But, you know, back in, you can ask most anybody that's been in combat, you know, Vietnam, South Africa, Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever. Even in a combat environment, when you are walking around camp and stuff, you don't have chambered rifles. You chambered handguns in a holster, that's fine. But to walk around with a chambered rifle is just idiocy. Now, when you walk out of that camp and you get out to a certain point, then yeah, everybody locks and loads, and well, I won't say everybody. It depends on how far you're going, what you're doing, what your team leader says. But you don't do it in camp. It is entirely too dangerous. That's one thing that we have finally, over all these years, we finally learned that is not the best way to do things. And Doc, if you're still listening, yeah, you're still in there. Doc and Tampico Scout, and some of you that have been in the military and been in a combat environment, I'd like to see you weigh in on that in the chat room real quick, if you would, and see what you think about it. But that's of course my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. But and the mountain shooter, you know what? Yeah, they watch too many movies, and I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know why they feel that way. Unless I was on a trail out there in pretty dense cover, knowing that I was in the midst of hostiles, there is no reason to chamber that rifle. Number one, it takes an instant. If you're familiar with your gun, I don't know. I haven't been out there. It takes an instant, just a flash, to get that rifle chambered. Lever action, pump, semi-automatic, anything but a flintlock. It takes only a second, not even a second, to get it ready to go. Now, we often talk about risk versus reward. If you look at the tremendous amount of risk from people carrying chambered rifles around as compared to the minimal amount of reward of having the gun already chambered in case something happened. Okay, risk versus reward. If we're talking about standing around hunting camp, as the Tinker says here, or whether you're at a base camp, you know, in Afghanistan or wherever, you look at the likelihood of something happening from a bad guy, as compared to something happening by dropping the gun, setting it down on its butt too hard, taking it off your shoulder and swinging it around where you're covering people, laying it in your lap. I mean, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. And I said something about... Oh, there was a guy and a gal sitting on a bench out in front of the courthouse or the state building there back before the Olympia thing. And I said something about the way they were handling their rifles and whatnot. Of course, they chewed me out, of course, because they already know everything and all of that. But that's one of the things that we want to get started out with a safety briefing right away, and make sure that everybody understands that that's we can't make them do it. I'm hoping that I can shame them enough into being goofy and not doing that. We don't have the authority to force people to do that, but hopefully they'll be smart enough to not do that. And to tinker, yeah, even in hunting camp, especially in hunting camp, because you're not talking normally about trained. You talk about guys that hunt together all the time, but are they trained? Have they taken even an NRA safety class, or do they just get a safety briefing from their granddad or whatever? So in hunting camps, surely you want to make sure that as come in from hunting, get to the edge of camp somewhere, turn and face a safe direction and get that thing unloaded and come on into camp. And don't load it until you're leaving to go hunting the next day. Maybe not even until you get to your stand, depending on what the terrain is and everything. Anyway, that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it here. Tampico Scout, that would have been, as long as nobody was hurt, that would have been funny. Lieutenant Neglin discharged into a crowded chow hall, yeah. That's, yeah, they gotta have something for lieutenants to do, I guess. I don't know. All right. Well, it's about that time, and my lovely bride has come home, so I need to go properly welcome her. So I'm going to see you guys tomorrow, and Amy will be here tomorrow also. And don't forget, we're in the process of getting everything swapped over.
Did you tell Yakima Glock happy birthday?
I did. Yakima Glock, Amy's watching out for you. She pointed me and said, "Did you tell Yakima Glock happy birthday?" Yes, ma'am. I surely did. All right. Like I said, we're getting everything switched over to SouthwestShootingAuthority.com. It's going to be a little bit of a little bit of confusion here for a few days while we're in the process of getting that done. But just keep in mind that that's the direction we're going here. That means all the T-shirts I got and all that stuff now I can go ahead and put back on the market. I'll be taking a bunch of those up to Washington, too. All right, guys. Good night. And good night. There you go.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.